Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 27 and into chapter 28. There's just something about this time of the year. You and I come to this place, and you come to this place time after time. And there is something that marks this time of the year more so than any other time. Why is it that this Sunday is marked more so than any other Sunday of the year? Because you and I come to celebrate, we come to honor, we come to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. The disciples said, "He is not here. Come see the place where he lay." The angels said to the women, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" However, there's a sad reality in our world. There's so many people that don't even understand what the resurrection is all about. There are so many people who don't even comprehend what this day is all about. They'll see a lot of people that are in church and they will wonder, "Well, why are you going today?" The truth about it is, this Sunday is so significant because every one of our eternity and our eternal existence is banked on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are the most miserable people in all the world. If you'll take your Bible and follow along with me, Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 50 through chapter 28, verse 10. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watched Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered, and when Jesus had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet come, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and saying to the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch, go your way and make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone, setting a watch in the end of the Sabbath. And as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." This one day marks any other day in the world, in the year, because you and I come together and we come to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray by the end of this message you will understand why this day is so significant to your personal life. You know, there's a lot of people who say, well, what's the big deal about the resurrection? What is so important about Jesus Christ rising from the dead? Well, there's a great deal that hinges on it. Jesus didn't come that you and I could have a religion or a set of just religious beliefs. Jesus made it very clear, I came that you might have life and that you could have life abundantly. And whenever you and I come together in this time of the year and we're reminded of the death, burial, and the resurrection, you know, there's so much that you and I need to think about on Easter Sunday morning, because the Bible makes it very clear that this was such a special morning. This was such a special day. And as you and I come together, there are some things we need to be reminded of. This day is the message to you and me that you and I have a risen Savior. One of the things that's very clear in this story is Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the grave with embalming spices to embalm a dead body. Just like you don't go to the graveyard, you don't ever go to the graveyard to talk to somebody that's been dead. I mean, it's just a normal rule that dead men don't get up. You know, dead people don't rise. That's the norm. I don't know about you, but I've never met anybody in a grocery store and they've been dead and they say, how you doing? And I said, well, I've been dead for about 10 years. And just got up. You know, you don't usually find that in the world that you and I live in. And so they go to the grave and they come to find the place where Jesus lay. And as they come to the place, the Bible says that Peter and John was there. And, you know, John outran Peter because he was probably a little younger. And he stopped, but here was bold Peter. And he went in and he looked at the grave. There was nobody there. Now think about it for just a moment. If there had been a body in that grave, if Jesus Christ's cold, lifeless body had been in that grave and it was embalmed and they found the body, then something is desperately wrong, number one, with the whole Christian faith. If they had gone in and found the body of Jesus Christ, Paul put it this way, if there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you and I are still in our sins. You know, Paul made it very clear. If there's no resurrection, there is no sense to believe a single thing that I'm telling to you right now. Every pastor is a liar if there is no resurrection. Every preacher, every teacher, every minister of the gospel is lying to you if there is no resurrection. But what is worse is this. If there is no resurrection, your entire eternity hangs in the balance. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ didn't come for himself. He came for you and he came for me. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only defining mark that sets Christianity apart from all the other religions. Well, you say, that's all well and good. Well, what does that mean for me? Well, listen to what God says about you. Listen to what God says about me. Now, we have come today and we've come very well dressed up as we ought to. But the Bible says, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:16, for if the dead rise not, then Christ is not dead. If Christ is not dead, then we're still in our sins. You say, well, what's the big deal about being a sinner? You know, our world don't make a big deal about being a sinner. The world don't make a big deal about ungodly life and ungodly living. The world doesn't make a big deal. After all, the world says, it's all right. If it feels good, go ahead and do it. But I want you to listen to what the God of the Bible says about you and about sin, about me and about sin, about the whole world. Here's what Almighty God says about sin. The soul that sinneth, it must die. Every one of us in this building this morning are a sinner. Every one of us in this place right now, you are a sinner. The Bible says you're a sinner by nature. You're a sinner by choice. And the God of the universe says every person that sins, he must die. Do you know what that really means? You must be executed before holy God. You say, well, surely he wouldn't do that to me. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it must die. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world. You know, at the end of life, you're going to get a paycheck. You may not believe it, but you'll just have to wait and die and find it out if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and you don't believe there's a penalty for sin. You know, it's sad that there's so many people that don't believe there's a penalty for sin. They're going to have to die to find out that it's going to be a penalty for sin. The Bible says you must pay for your eternal life by going to hell if you reject the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Bible says in Romans, for the wages of sin is death. You see, you and I think a lot of ourselves, but here's what God says about you and me. We are sinners. Now, God's not trying to say something negative. That's just a reality of your life, and that's a reality of my life. There is, listen, you watch two little kids. You watch them, maybe 3 or 4 year old. Mine. No, it's mine. No, mine. No, mine. You know, they don't say yours and your. We're sinners. And the Bible makes it very clear. While you are on this earth, you know, you can do what you will. You can get what you will. You can do anything in the world if you want to. But if you, when you die, you must pay for your sin. You see, some people who don't believe in Jesus Christ and they don't believe in the resurrection. I was talking to one young man the other day, and we was handing out some flyers and encouraging people to think seriously about their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I shared with this one young man, I said, it's important that every person have a relationship with God. And he said, well, that's your opinion. You know, the sad part about it is there's going to be many who have to die to find out what it's going to cost them. You, listen, if you never deal with your soul, if you never deal with that spiritual aspect, the Bible says the wages of sin, your sin, my sin, is death. You see, the Bible makes it very clear. It's the message that Jesus Christ can do precisely what he says. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in Matthew 27, 63, saying, sir, we remember that this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I'll rise again. Now, let me ask you a question. Suppose next week was your day of death. Suppose next Thursday was the day you died. Can anybody say, well, you know, Pastor, I've got to die next Thursday, but I'll be back here Monday after that. You think, what? You've never been to the grocery store and talked to somebody and said, yeah, you know, I had to die for 3 days and I got back up. Now, every one of us wish we could get back up from the death. I've got precious friends and family. I can't wait to see my sainted mother who's been with the Lord for a number of years. And you, many of you have sainted mothers and fathers. But, you know, on the norm, dead people don't rise up. You don't go to Walmart or you don't go to any mart and find somebody that's been dead and they've been resurrected and now they're going to get groceries. You just don't find. That's not the norm in life. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to die and 3 days later I'm going to get back up. Listen, these disciples didn't believe it. Who would? Would you believe in resurrection? You may love your spouse, your husband, your wife, but you know, if they told you, honey, I'm going to die, but I'll get back up. But listen, listen very carefully. I thought about this as I've been preparing. You know what? If you believe in Jesus Christ, who is your life, who is your Savior and your Redeemer, and you place your faith in him, you may die someday, but you got to get back up. You may go down someplace, somewhere, sometime, because Jesus says, whoever believes in me cannot die, will not die. Listen. You know, sometimes you and I think, well, you know, this resurrection. But Jesus said, after 3 days, I'll rise again. And that simply means that he can do exactly what he says. You know, every one of us have a sin problem. Every one of us have hanging over us death. Every one of us. Hanging over me is the reality. I must die physically. The Bible says it's appointed and the man wants to die. It's an appointed to you to die. You may not want to keep that appointment. You may not want to believe the appointment. You may say, well, it's just not that big of a deal to me. Listen, the Bible says one day you and I will understand in more fulfillment than what we ever understood what this resurrection is all about. Because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to get back up because Jesus said, 3 days, I'm coming back. But it's the message that sin has been dealt with by God for the benefit of man. You see, our world is so sinful and so wicked, they don't see the need of a Savior. I was watching a movie one time, and Old Brother, Where Art Thou? And you've probably seen it. And in listening to one man in that show, and he supposedly sold his soul to the devil so he could play music. But in that story, he makes a very interesting statement. He said, I sold my soul. He said, I wasn't using it. You know, there's a lot of people who don't believe they're using their soul. Listen to me very carefully. You are an eternal soul and you have a body. You're an eternal being and you have a body. The Bible makes it very clear that you're going to live for all of eternity. And here's what Paul said. You know, it's the message that sin's been dealt with. Romans 5:17 says, For if by one man's sin, one man's offense, death reigned by sin, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now you may be here and you say, why in the world is there a need for the resurrection, the crucifixion, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, let me tell you in a nutshell why. The first man, Adam, was created perfect in the sight of God. He had everything, but he sinned. And the Bible says that he passed sin onto every single other living being on the face of the earth. That's why you get old and that's why you die. Can you imagine what the world would be like if there'd never been sin in it? Adam would not have aged. Eve would not have aged. You wouldn't age. Wouldn't that be a wonderful reality? To look in your mirror and you'd be ageless. I mean, you won't grow older and older. But the Bible says Adam's sin spread throughout all mankind. You see, the Bible says you are a sinner by nature. You are a sinner by choice. You know, the reality in the divine economy of God, he has a plan to bring about your forgiveness. If you die without Jesus, the Bible makes it very clear what happens. And you see, you need a resurrection. You don't need reformation. You don't need a new trial. You don't need to try the best you can. You know, one of the things that you can't do, you can't save yourself. You cannot save yourself from your sins. And the Bible makes it very clear, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You know, we come to this place and we come to Easter, but Christ didn't come just to give us a wonderful Easter, though we have a wonderful Easter. Paul made it very clear. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You are a sinner. You need saved if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you do know Jesus Christ, you realize sometime in your life, say what you will, do what you will, think of it any way you want, but if you are without Jesus Christ, you need rescued, and you can't rescue yourself. Have you ever seen somebody drowning? I never will forget, some years ago, was watching this horrible hurricane went through the Gulf Coast and New Orleans, and you would see women and young men and men alike. They'd be on top of the houses, and they'd be waving. They only wanted one thing. They didn't want somebody to throw them money. They needed a rescue. And here's a reality. If they did not get rescued, they died. And the records record and newspapers share and news relayed that many people died and their bodies were found in the attics because they had no other place to go and nobody found them. The Bible says about you and about me, you need rescued. If the only question is, will you let Jesus rescue you or not? It is interesting why so many people reject Jesus Christ. And some of the reasons are just honestly so unique. Well, I've got to change my life. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything. I don't know about you, but I don't want to die and go to hell. And folks, let's listen to me real carefully. It's that simple. You don't have Jesus. You must, you will, and you're going to die and spend eternity in a real, literal hell. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm telling you the facts of the Word of God. Because here's what God says. You must be perfect to enter heaven. You say, now, Pastor, you're not perfect. No. But here's the way it works, and you and I can think about it. You know, Dr. Donald Barnhouse put it something like this. He said, you know, you have a bill to pay, and you go into the place to pay it, and you have cash, and you have a bill. And you present the bill, and then you present the cash, and they mark on that stub, and they give it back to you, paid in full. On the counter of eternity, Jesus Christ was the cash for your debt. He was the cash for your sins. He was the cash payment in blood for every molecule of sin you will ever commit. And when the time comes and you get ready to leave this world and you get ready to die, you have the payment of Jesus Christ as your guarantee that you're going to heaven if you're a child of God. You see, the Bible makes it very clear. The message of the resurrection is a message that God wants a relationship with you. One of the intriguing things about life and living and that I see about so many individuals, hear me, listen to me very carefully. God created you. And it's interesting, so many people don't want to have anything to do with the one that created them. Don't want to have anything to do with this God of the universe that gave them life and living and gives them the capability to enjoy the abundance of things. God did not come to give you a set of religious beliefs. He said, I came to give you life. You see, one of the things we miss out about Christianity is our God likes us. He don't just love you, He likes you. Listen, why would the God of the universe give His Son to die on the cross, shed His blood? What's He going to get out of the deal? What's He going to get in exchange for it? He's going to get a dead son buried. He's going to have a separation of a relationship that had never happened in eternity. But why did He do it? Because He likes you. You know some people, you say, well, I guess I have to like them. You know the way we say it sometimes, I guess I have to. But you know what? Here's the God of the universe that's absolutely in love with your life. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you've done. Here's what God the Father knows. You cannot pay for your sins yourself. It's amazing how many people try to pay for their sins. You say, what do you mean? They'll try to do things for the church or for the pastor, or they'll try to give money to the church, and they'll try to do this and that. But you cannot pay for your sin debt. The message of the cross, the message of the resurrection, is that your sin has been paid for. Listen, the message of the cross, the message of the resurrection, is God wants to give to you something you can't even dream of in a million years. I've thought about resurrection. Someday I'm going to get up. I've thought about that. Now, I'm very careful not to say a whole lot about it to my wife, you know, because you can sort of. But listen, someday I'm going to get up. I may go down, but someday I got to get up. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will go down someday, but you've got to get up. Why? Jesus said, all who believe in me shall never die. You say, well, that just sounds too good to be true. Listen, He's the God of the universe. He created everything that has been, that is, and ever will be. He can do with this world whatever He wants to do, how He wants to do it. He is sovereign, holy, omnipotent God. And He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and me. And you see, the thing about it is, Easter, the resurrection is the proof God wants the best for you. There is not a parent, a decent, loving, caring parent, that doesn't want the best for their child or children. And one of the things we miss out on is this. God don't just like us, He wants the best for us. You know, there's a lot of things that we're limited by as parents. You know, we can't give our children certain things because you just don't have the money. Does your Heavenly Father ever run out? No. And here's the God of the universe said, you know what, Benny, I love you. I love you, and I'm going to exchange my son so that I can have a relationship with you. That boggles my mind. You see, here's what we do. We have a belief about God. All he's concerned is you come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and you do this and this. Let me ask you this. He could have given you a whole list of codes and conducts and rules, and not given His Son, and He'd still been God. But you see, the truth of Scripture is, He wants for you His very best. You'll never comprehend God. You'll never fathom His love for you. You know why? We have been so mentally rerouted because we believe all He wants to do is you come to church and you sit and be real quiet. I don't know about you, but He's a God of fun. He's a God of excitement. Listen, don't you know Jesus had a wonderful time with His resurrection? Think about it a minute. Don't you think He was excited to show to His disciples, I'm alive? And scared half to death. The disciples scared half to death. And Thomas, he said, Thomas, you can touch my hands, feel me. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. It is me, the risen Christ. You know why? Because God wants for you something you can never get for yourself. One of the problems with mankind, we honestly believe if we can get it, if we need it, we can get it ourselves. That's why so many people will die apart from Christ. Not that they have to, not that God wants them to, but they will not believe that God is their only way through Jesus Christ. You see, you know, I think about this. I think God wants for Benny Bush to live eternally. And sometimes we think about heaven as an eternal church service. Nope. You read the Bible and you'll find out exactly what's going on. There's work, there's worship, there's all sorts of things. You say, Pastor, there's work? Absolutely. Now think about this a minute. Imagine having an eternal body, the capability to work, and the inability to ever get worn out. Never get worn out. Listen, Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. But lastly, number five, it's the message that Jesus has the power to reverse death. I love what Luke 24:6 says. The Living Bible says it like this. He has come back to life. Scripture reveals that there wasn't only the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the Bible says that there were many godly people that came forward that day. Can't you just imagine being there then? Charlotte and I was talking about this passage of Scripture, and I said, honey, what would you do if a knock on the back door came and it was your grandmother? Now, she'd probably run out the front door knowing my wife. Can you remember your grandmother's voice? Can you remember your grandfather's voice? If they were a Christian? The Bible doesn't say who these people were, but the Bible does give you a little snapshot of what's going to happen to you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you a caution and a warning. The Bible does not say any of the unbelievers got up from the dead. Friend, you can do what you will with the gospel, but here's the reality. You reject Jesus, you've rejected everything. You've rejected the only payment for your sins, and the Bible says you've got to die. You've got to die for all of eternity. I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just being realistic, and I'm telling you the absolute truth. I would not want you to die, and you cannot die without knowing the truth, because God will make it very clear. You know, and you look at these, you know, those resurrected bodies, and you know, you and I, as we look at around us, and last few days I've been looking out at the scenery and looking at some of the trees come back to life again, and I say this as honestly from my heart, thank God for spring. Thank God for this wonderful time of year. You know, in December, in November, in January, everything looks dead. Everything looks like it's never going, may as well rip everything up and replant it. But there is a resurrection in the spring. There is a resurrection, and here's what God does. He causes it to be so because it's a reminder to you and me. Things may appear to be dead. Your mother, your father, your great-grandfather, your great-grandmother that died in Christ, it may appear that they're dead. But if they're a believer in Jesus Christ, they're going to get back up from where they got down. You know, every person that was buried in that day and time, I think about this. They got up from the dead, but they had a funeral. They was part of a funeral because there's the person in the funeral. They may have been in a coffin of some type. People came and paid their respects. But the Bible makes it very clear they got up. You see, there's going to be a great resurrection morning someday. Say what you will, do what you will, think what you will, but here's the word of the living God. And it's everything. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. You can get every single penny this world has. If you don't have Christ, you're going to leave it. You're going to let it go, and you're going to part from it, and you're going to die. The song that Stephanie sang the other day, I had a CD player, and I was listening to it, and I was turning it up a little bit because there's just something about those words, arise, my love. And as I was listening to it, I was passing by the cemetery at Wolf Creek. And that cemetery is my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and my sister-in-law and an aunt by marriage. Well, more than one aunt. And as I pulled and went down that drive just yesterday or Friday, I was listening to that song and I was looking over at the tombstones. And I just couldn't help but say, you all have got to get up. Leonard, you've got to get up. Mabel, you've got to get up. Barb, you've got to get up. Hazel, you've got to get up. Ruby, you've got to get up. We get to get up. The message of the cross is that your sin has been paid for. Your sin debt is paid in full. How sad this reality. Many people don't want him. Many people could care less. Here's the wonderful truth for all who will believe. Paul said to the unbeliever, the cross is foolishness. You may think, Pastor, what you're saying to me is foolishness. Then you're going to have to probably perish if you don't believe in Jesus. There is no other way. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of the living God. Now you say, Pastor, are you wanting me to die? No. But here's the reality. So many people he's created, and so few will come to faith in him. Not because he wants it, but because there's something about our hearts we get hard. Friend, you're here this morning and you're without Jesus Christ. The God who created you wants for you eternal life. He wants more than you could ever dream or imagine. If you're a child of God, isn't it wonderful to be able to say, and I just want you to join this, say this with me. Because I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Say that out loud. Because I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I may go down, but I got to get up because of Jesus. Isn't it wonderful if you're a Christian, you can say that, amen? And friend, if you can't, you can have Jesus right now in your heart and in your life. With every head bowed, every eye closed. You may think that Jesus is for somebody else, but friend, are you going to have to die to find out at that point? Every one of us are sinners by nature and by choice. The Bible says in Ezekiel and Romans, the soul that sins must die. Jesus has taken your execution from the Father and gives you the opportunity to have life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you would be willing to invite Jesus Christ into your life right where you're sitting, you realize maybe now for the first time you're a sinner. Would you be willing to pray this simple prayer? Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I'm a sinner by nature. I'm a sinner by choice. Lord Jesus, right here and right now, I ask you to come into my heart and to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. And Heavenly Father,